Good morning, good morning. Happy Easter, everyone. And congratulations for getting here at the right time. We can all turn around and stare at people who arrive in an hour and feel very, very smug, certainly. But lovely to see you on this lovely, bright, sunny spring morning. Maybe summer really is on the way. Who knows? It's lovely to be able to meet together. And you're very welcome if you're maybe visiting family for the Easter weekend. It's great to be able to meet together. And we're going to be sharing in the wonder of the Easter message this morning. It's an all-age service, so we're going to stay together for the whole time. We're going to be sharing communion as well. And then I know there's a little bit of excitement about tea and coffee and refreshments after the service and a little Easter egg hunt or something as well going on. But more details about that later in our time. Well, as we begin, let me read through these wonderful sentences from the Bible, if you'd like to respond in those words in white bold. So praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. So let's lift our voices to sing of our risen Lord in our first song, Thine Be the Glory. Let's stand to sing together. Please do have a seat, everyone. And on this Easter morning, I thought it'd be good for us to be thinking about the resurrection, obviously, of the Lord Jesus. And sometimes we sort of go through some of the facts of the resurrection and things like that. But this morning, I want us to focus more on the impact of the resurrection, the impact of the resurrection, both for those first disciples, but then also thinking about us today. And so I thought it'd be helpful maybe to hear from one of those first disciples and to hear a little bit from them about what went on that first Easter. So hopefully we've got Peter here. Peter, fantastic. Oh, brilliant. Oh, look at that. As if from nowhere, Peter. Thank you very much. So Peter, we'd love you to cast your mind back 2,000 years or so. I mean, you're looking in very good shape, has to be said. 2,000 years or so just before that first Easter Sunday morning, actually, to the Thursday night. We call it Maundy Thursday, the night of the Last Supper that I'm sure you'll remember well.
Yes. Not my best hour, to be honest.
I guess we'll come to that. But first, do you remember something that Jesus quoted from the Old Testament from one of the prophets, Zechariah?
Yeah, about the shepherd and the sheep, that one.
Yeah. I think we got it on the screen. So Jesus told his disciples, "For it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." So on that Thursday evening, what did you think that Jesus was saying there? What did you think Jesus was saying?
Well, from the way he said it, it was clear that he was the shepherd who would be struck, even struck dead, and that we as sheep would scatter. I think it meant that we would sort of run away and leave him.
Run away? Wow, gosh, how did you sort of feel about Jesus saying that you were going to run away like that?
Well, we were all pretty upset already, and all of this was just too much for me. So I just blurted out, "Even if all fall away, I will not."
And you weren't just saying that, were you? I mean, you really meant it.
Yeah, of course I meant it. I love Jesus. I'd been with him for 3 years, and right from the beginning in Galilee, Andrew and me, there was just no way that I was going to run away. There was just no way.
Really?
Yeah. I even said that I was ready to die with Jesus if it came to it.
Well, we know you're brave, Peter. We know you're brave, certainly. And, I mean, so Jesus must have been thrilled when you said that. What did he say?
Well, he looked at me and he said, "Truly I tell you, yes, today, tonight, before the cock crows twice, you yourself will disown me three times." And I insisted that this would just never happen. But then he looked at me with that look, not angry, not even sad.
Disappointed?
not that either. It was just love. It was just this look of love.
Wow. So then if we fast forward a few hours, so sort of still through that Thursday evening, can you tell us what happened next?
Well, no guesses who was right. I'll give you a clue. It wasn't me.
So just paint that scene for us. When was it and where was it? You know, what was going on?
Well, so Judas had come to the Garden of Gethsemane with the religious authorities and soldiers, and they'd arrested Jesus. And most of the disciples had started to run away, and I started to run away. But then I suddenly remembered my promise to Jesus that I would stand with him. So I turned round and I began to follow behind them at a distance, a safe distance.
So you didn't scatter like the rest of the disciples then, is that right?
Not at that stage, no. What I was about to do was far worse. And it happened just as Jesus predicted. I was sitting by the fire in the courtyard outside the high priest's house, and there were quite a few people there. There were some soldiers, there were some from the religious crowd, some sort of random people, and some servants going about their business.
Weren't you kind of worried about, I know it was dark, but weren't you worried about being recognized by people?
Well, to be honest, it hadn't even crossed my mind. My brain was a bit scrambled by then, to say the least. Yeah. And then it happened. The young servant girl came to tend the fire, and it blazed up a bit, and she started staring at me. You also were with Jesus the Nazarene, weren't you?
Gosh, that must have been a bit awkward. What did you say?
I denied it. Of course I denied it. Just like Jesus said I would. And not just once, or even twice, when the servant girl came back and accused me again. I did it a third time. When one of the guys standing near the fire accused me of being a Galilean and one of Jesus' disciples, I just started shouting, calling down curses and swearing, I'd never met Jesus. I'd never met him. It's not me. I'm just so ashamed.
So three times before the cock crowed, just like Jesus said,
yeah,
you disowned him. Well, sorry to have to make you go through all that again, Peter, but thank you for your honesty so much. And thanks for sharing us that with us so fully and humbly. A round of applause for Peter for us. Well, that was taking us back, wasn't it, to that Thursday night. And that was the beginning of the story. And we're going to see what the resurrection does for people like Peter. But before we get there, it's good for us to recognise that we all have something of that response of Peter in us, don't we? We all are tempted to deny God, to deny Jesus at times in different situations and contexts. I know we wouldn't have done any better in Peter's shoes, would we? And so it's right on this Easter Sunday morning that we confess our sins together. There you go, a prayer of confession on the screen. There'll be words in white bold for you to join in with. Lord, hear us and help us. But let's pray through this together. Jesus Christ, risen Master and triumphant Lord, we come to you in sorrow for our sins and confess to you our weakness and unbelief. We have lived by our own strength and not by the power of your resurrection. In your mercy, forgive us. Lord, hear us and help us. We have lived by the light of our own eyes, as faithless and not believing. In your mercy, forgive us. Lord, hear us and help us. We have lived for this world alone and doubted our home in heaven. In your mercy, forgive us. Lord, hear us and help us. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the wonder of Easter Sunday morning and the life and the joy, the forgiveness, the freedom that it assures us of. Pray that as we think more about Peter this morning and all that the resurrection meant for him, that we might know the same for us. We might know the life that it brings to us, both now and forever. And we pray that in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, we're going to sing again now. And this next song does have some action. So if anyone wants to come out the front and join me with the actions. Very welcome to do so. And the rest of us can stand and sing, join in the actions or not, as you feel comfortable. But let's stand of God's goodness to us. Please have a seat. And we're now going to hear a Bible reading about that first Easter Sunday morning. And Dan is going to come and read that for us. Thank you, Dan.
The Bible reading is found on page 1023, Mark chapter 16, verses 1 to 8. And there are some pictures on the screen as well to help us as we go through this. So page 1023, Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on, the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in white robes sitting on the right side. And they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Great. Well, maybe you just clocked Peter on the way through there, and we're going to see what difference Easter Sunday morning makes for him. But before we get to that, I thought it'd be good to hear from someone else this morning. And who better than one of the women from the tomb? So, fantastic. Look at that. Brilliant. Now I've got a good chance of getting this right. 2 out of 3, you must be called Mary.
Yes, Mary, the mother of James.
And just to confirm, you were there that first Easter Sunday morning?
Oh, yes. And what a morning.
I bet. So can you just tell us a little bit kind of about what went on,
yes,
do you think?
So where to begin? Right. So Mary, Salome and I, we got up dead early in the morning because we were carrying lots of spices so that we could go and put them on Jesus's dead body because he died. And you see, there hadn't been time on the Friday afternoon because it was the Sabbath, so we couldn't do it then.
And just to confirm, you did know which tomb Jesus was in. Yeah, is that right?
Oh, yeah. You wouldn't forget something like that. No, this was Jesus, our friend, our teacher, our master and our Lord. And we'd been there on the Friday evening and we'd seen them put Jesus's body into Joseph's tomb, you know, Joseph of Arimathea. And we'd seen the soldiers put Jesus's body there and we'd seen them roll a really big stone across the front to seal it and they'd put some soldiers on guard. You wouldn't forget that.
I guess not. I guess you wouldn't forget all those kind of things. But wasn't, as you're like going there on the Sunday morning, wasn't there a little bit of a problem?
Yeah, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, how on earth are three women going to get past some rough Roman soldiers and roll the stone away and get into the tomb?
The thought had occurred to me. Yeah, it has to be said.
Yeah, well, that suddenly hit us too as we were walking there. But come on, to be fair, our world had just fallen apart and we'd not been able to sleep for quite a few days and we weren't exactly thinking very straight.
So when you got there then, when you got there to the tomb, was anybody there?
No. Well, yes. Well, it's slightly complicated. You see, there were no Roman soldiers there. They were supposed to be on guard, but they'd run away when the earth started to shake, so there was no soldiers.
Okay.
But when we did get there, the stone had been rolled away. No soldiers, stone rolled. But when we got inside, there was a young man dressed in white. And before you ask, it did not occur to us that it might be an angel.
And so this young man, dressed in white, in the tomb, did he do anything? Did he say anything?
I will never forget those words. It was amazing. He said, "Don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him?" And he pointed to the place where Jesus had been laid in the tomb, and there was nothing there, not a thing. Well, except for a pile of clothes that were his grave clothes that had been neatly folded and put down.
Wow. I mean, I guess you must have been really excited and overjoyed.
Completely terrified. You see, we didn't really know what to do. We just sort of ran away, trembling and terrified.
Well, I guess actually in the Bible, when people do see angels, they tend to be pretty terrified. So fair enough. And you had a disappearing body to get your head around as well. So fair enough. So was there anything else you remember? So you've run. Was there anything else that you remember?
Yes, there was. Oh, I'll never forget it. It was so important. Almost the most important part. The angel said, "Go tell the disciples and Peter. He, that's Jesus, he's going ahead of you into Galilee. And there you will see him just as he told you."
Yeah, we heard Peter just before saying that Jesus said on the Thursday night, "After I've risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." So there it is.
Yeah, and that was the big thing. It wasn't just go and tell the disciples. It was go tell the disciples and Peter.
Ah, of course. And Peter. Brilliant. Fantastic. Thank you. Thank you, Mary. Big round of applause for Mary. Thank you. Been very helpful to hear that nice eyewitness testimony. And so those two words that Mary just told us about, and Peter, are so, so important. Just think back to what it was like for Peter that Thursday night through Friday and Easter Saturday when all was quiet. Just think how he would have been feeling after having messed up so badly. I mean, he might have followed on sort of physically, but when it came to it, he scattered in the worst way possible, didn't he? He'd let Jesus down in a way like way beyond any of us could ever do in our whole life, surely. And yet those words and people, Peter, go tell the disciples and Peter, they're words of power, of transformation, of renewal. They're words of resurrection, aren't they? And it's the wonderful truth of Easter that those words weren't just for Peter, but they were for us too. They can be for us today as well. I mean, it's almost like we can put our own name in there. As the angel says to the women, go tell the disciples, and well, we can put our own name in. Because it's the wonderful good news of Easter Sunday morning, that however badly we may feel we've messed up, however much we feel like a Peter in that sense, Jesus, well, it's forgiveness. Remember Peter sort of saying the look on Jesus' face, not sadness, not anger, not even disappointment, but even a look of love. You see, it was no surprise to Jesus, was it, that Peter let him down? Jesus said it was going to happen. He said they were all going to scatter. Jesus knew he would be on his own on the cross. It had to be that way because he was doing it for Peter. He was doing it for Andrew and James and John, and he was doing it for you and for me. And the question is, do we know that this Easter Sunday morning? We celebrate these events every year, don't we? Good Friday, Jesus dying on the cross. Easter Sunday, Jesus rising again. But until we know it is for us, and you are included too, then the whole event just passes by, really. It was a bit odd. I was walking Wilbur this morning, nice and early. Bumped into a few people I know a little bit on the dog walk. I said Happy Easter to all of them. None of them said anything to me in reply to Happy Easter. I bet if I said Happy Christmas at Christmas time, they'd have said Happy Christmas. But it's funny, Easter just doesn't seem to have that same relevance to lots of people today. It's easy for it to pass us by. So until we know those words of the angel. Go tell the disciples and you and me. He is risen and he has gone ahead of us. Because he's gone ahead of us, not just to Galilee, has he? He's gone ahead of us now to heaven. And one day he's going to meet us there if we trust in him. That's the great truth of the resurrection. That's the impact that the resurrection has. That it changes not just life here, that we can know him and follow him, but it lets us know that there is a future beyond belief. And that is the real transformation that went on in Peter. And later in the Bible, he wrote to tell us all about it. Let me just read a few verses from Peter's first letter. I think we've got it up on the screen as well. Let me read these verses for us. Sorry, just find it. 1 Peter chapter 1. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Peter was writing that to the first Christians. They hadn't seen Jesus, just like us. Peter had. Peter could go to them and say, I saw Jesus. I saw Jesus raised from the dead. He showed me the scars in his wrists and in his feet, the scar in his side. But it doesn't matter that you haven't seen him, because those words are for you as well. Jesus did it for me and for you. And he did it to promise us a secure future that cannot change. And so the response for us is to trust him. Peter had to trust him. And Peter's life was pretty tough. He referred there, didn't he, to suffering and going through trials. Peter faced lots of suffering and went through lots of trials through the rest of his life. But he knew where he was headed. He knew what his future was. And the same is true for all of us. It may be 2,000 years later, but the same offer is there for all of us. And so the question is, will we trust those words of the angel? Will we put our faith in Jesus? Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you don't know for sure where your faith is placed. Until it's placed in Jesus, we can't be sure of that future. We love to share that message every week. Keep coming back to St. Andrew's, or hopefully this term we might run a Christianity Explored course where we can look more into these wonderful truths and think about what it means to have faith in this Jesus who has been raised from the dead, who died and rose again. But I'm sure for many of us, we do know that already. And you see what Peter said to us in those verses? Though you have not seen him, you love him. Even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. I guess that's a challenge for all of us, isn't it? Even in the midst of suffering and trials and the hardships of life, do we cling on to that inexpressible and glorious joy? Not just on an Easter Sunday morning when the sun's shining and we've got Easter eggs and all the wonderful things of Easter Day to celebrate. But through the year, do we hear those words to us of the angel? Go tell his disciples and Peter and you and me. He's going ahead of you into Galilee, into heaven, and there you will see him. You will see him just as he told you. Well, to allow us to think a little bit more about that, we're going to sing again our wonderful song, which is all about the fact that Jesus lives. Jesus is alive today. He's in heaven, and one day he's going to return to take his people to be with him. So let's stand and sing together. Well, let's remain standing and It's wonderful to affirm our faith in our great Saviour, Jesus. And we can do that using these words. They're just taken from one of Paul's letters in the New Testament. So if you believe in Jesus and his resurrection, please join me in saying these words together. So let us declare our faith in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. He was buried. He was raised to life on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. Afterwards, he appeared to his followers and to all the apostles. This we have received and this we believe. Amen. Do you have a seat? We're going to spend some time praying together now. So first of all, the prayer set for this day, and then Finn and Chloe are going to continue to lead us in our prayers. Lord of all life and power, who through the mighty resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, overcame the old order of sin and death to make all things new in him, grant that we, being dead to sin and alive to you in Jesus Christ, may reign with him in glory, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be praise and honour, glory and might, now and in all eternity. Amen.
Let's continue to pray. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you that in your great mercy you have given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This Easter morning, we rejoice together at the wonder of resurrection. Lord, we pray that this would be a joy not just for Easter, but a defining trait in our lives. We ask that you would continually remind us of our living hope in Jesus. Fill our vision with his goodness, beauty, and glory so that all else pales in comparison. Father, give us hearts that are humble, willing, and open to receive the good news of Easter, and ever ready to rejoice greatly in Christ. And we ask for this joy, Lord, knowing that this life is not perfect. We all suffer grief in all kinds of trials, difficulties, tricky situations, hard relationships, weariness, sickness, suffering that feels like it will never end. Lord, we just take a moment to bring these things to you. Father, give us confidence that you are the God who works through suffering, who redeems your people, who rescues your faithful ones. Be our comfort, our defender, our shield, and our hope. In all the difficulties of this life, we pray that you would prove the genuineness of our faith, of greater worth than gold. We pray that you would use all things for good, and that all of these situations would result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Lord, we long for that day when everything will be made new, all hurts healed, all wrongs righted, every tear wiped away. We praise you that there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, and that the old order of things will pass away. Father, keep us looking forward to that day. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the good gifts you give us. We especially thank you for the gift of church family and when we get to celebrate Easter together this weekend. Thank you for meals together, special crafts, Easter eggs, for songs, conversations and remembering the Easter story together. Thank you for the holidays many of our church family are enjoying and will enjoy this month. We thank you for the gift of rest and we pray for our church family to be refreshed and encouraged this Easter. We pray that as a family we would find our real comfort and rest as we spend time with you. We pray that we would not look to holidays for our true satisfaction, but that we would be filled with joy and contentment because of Jesus. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Heavenly Father, we also pray for our mission partners this Easter. We pray for Joe, Kathy, Poppy and Lenny in Leah, Richard, Kathy, Mari and Amy in London, Andrew and Pam, who are supporting projects all around the world with Platform 67, Andrew, Eunice and Joy in Uganda and South Sudan, and Tim and Anna in Southeast Asia. We pray that you would bless them all this Easter with many opportunities to share the good news of Jesus with the people groups that they are seeking to reach. We ask that through our mission partners, your gospel would go out to all the world this Easter. We pray, using the words of Psalm 67, that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Finally, Father, we pray for our community here in Ashton. We thank you for all the opportunities we have to make Jesus known. And we ask that you would be with us as we work with people, chat to people, and serve those around us. Please be revealing yourself to those who don't know you in the way that we speak and act. In a world that is dark and hopeless, we pray that our joy in Jesus will be a shining light to those around us. Help us when we struggle to know what to say or how to say it. Help us when we feel weak and discouraged. Help us when we feel hurt or left out because of our faith. Lord, please use us to grow your kingdom. Work through us by your Spirit to reach lost souls who need Jesus. Please give us wisdom and courage to hold out our hope to the needy people around us. Please give us Jesus's compassion to look on others with love and pity, and give us hearts that long to help and serve others. Father, we thank you that you use people like us in your plans and purposes. But so often we feel small and helpless. Be with us, strengthen us, and work through us for your glory. And Father, we thank you for your great faithfulness. Thank you that you delight to hear our prayers, even though you know what we will ask before we ask it. And we thank you for Easter and the great reminder of our hope found in Jesus. Please keep us living joyfully until the day when we will see him face to face. And in Jesus' name, we ask all of these things. Amen.
Amen. So let's draw all our prayers together as Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Well, if you'd like to stand, we can share the peace together at this Easter time. So the risen Lord Jesus Christ came and stood among his disciples and said, "Peace be with you." Then they were glad when they saw the Lord. So may the peace of the Lord be always with you and also with you. You might like to share a sign of that peace with those around you. Well, as we move to looking back to Jesus' death and get ready to share bread and wine in memory of that, still appropriate to do on Easter Sunday, even as we remember Jesus' resurrection, we're going to sing again, a wonderful song that just keeps asking us who would do this for us, and encourages us to therefore lift high the cross, which we'll do as we share bread and wine together. So let's stand and sing. Well, so as we come to the Lord's table here at St Andrew's, we love to welcome anyone to the Lord's table who knows those words and Peter, and you for yourself, that Jesus died for you and rose again so that you might be forgiven and have heaven assured. And are therefore also in right standing with your fellow believers in your church family, if you're visiting, or in our church family, if that's you. If you would like to receive communion in a few moments, therefore, do come forward. There's bread, gluten-free bread. There's wine and juice as well. So just ask those serving it out at the front here what you would prefer If for any reason that's not you, but you'd appreciate a prayer of blessing, then if you keep your arms behind your back, I'll know to pray for you and for the children, obviously, as they come up as well. But if you'd prefer just to stay seated in the pews where you are, that's fine too. Nick's going to be directing traffic this morning, so when he shows you, do come up to the front and just stand across the front here. And then if you can circle round, back round the church to your seats. And special notice for children at that stage, Becca is going to be standing somewhere at the back corner with brightly coloured bags that might come in useful in a little while. So make sure you get the right coloured bag for your age group as you then circulate back to your seat as well. I think that's all I need to say by way of introduction, but hopefully that allows us therefore to focus on what we're sharing in together here as we say the words of the communion prayer. Again, if you'd respond in the words in white. So the Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give him thanks and praise. It is right to praise you, Father, Lord of all creation. In your love, you made us for yourself. When we turned away, you did not reject us, but came to meet us in your Son. You embraced us as your children and welcomed us to sit and eat with you. In Christ, you shared our love that we might live in him and he in us. He opened his arms of love upon the cross and made for all the perfect sacrifice for sin. On the night he was betrayed at supper with his friends, he took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His body is the bread of life. At the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His blood is shed for all. So as we proclaim his death and celebrate his rising in glory, send your Holy Spirit that this bread and this wine may be to us the body and blood of your dear Son. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us one in Christ, our risen Lord. So with your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of praise and lift our voice to join the eternal song of heaven, saying, "Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest." So draw near with faith, receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that Christ died for you, and so feed on him in your heart by faith with thanksgiving. Let me pray. God of life, who for our redemption gave your only Son to death on the cross, and by his glorious resurrection have delivered us from the power of our enemy, grant us so to die daily to sin, that we may evermore live with him in the joy of his risen life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And so let's sing of that joy in the risen life in our last song, "Look and See Our God." Let's stand to sing. Do have a seat. I think they've all got jobs, clearly. Fantastic. Well, let's finish our time in here together. I thank you for being with us this morning. No need to rush off. There are refreshments through in the hall, which I'm sure grown-ups will enjoy in relative quiet and peace and chaos going on out there. More instructions about that in a second. But let me finish our time in here first with a prayer. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Thanks be to God. who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so may the blessing of that victory, the blessing of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us today, this Easter day, this Easter time, and forevermore. Amen. So go in the peace of Christ. Alleluia. Thanks be to God. Alleluia. Now, if you are interested in an Easter egg hunt, you need to stay exactly where you are to find out your instructions. Fantastic. Brilliant. Hopefully, you should have either a blue or a pink bag, which is your age group. If you have a blue bag, you're going to be in the drive just out here. If you have a pink bag, you'll be in the garden. Okay. And if you're in the garden and have a pink bag, you need to find 6 eggs, all of different colours. So 6 different coloured eggs. When you have your 6 plastic eggs, they are 6 plastic eggs, line up on the outside of the garage, on the garden side, where the hose pipe is, and where Eddie will probably be standing with a baseball bat to keep you all in order. You'll be able to go through the garage, and wonderfully, your plastic eggs will be exchanged for chocolate eggs. How about that? How about that? Fantastic. So the quicker you get your plastic eggs, the nearer the front of the queue you'll get, and so the more choice you'll have of chocolate eggs in the garage. Any pushing, shoving, cheating, or disorder of any other sort, Edward will send you to the back of the queue, apparently. So be nice to Edward is clearly the theme of this game. So that's year one upwards, reception downwards. You'll have a very, very orderly time in the drive, I'm sure. You're just looking for 3 golden eggs. They're all gold in the drive. 3 golden eggs, and there'll be a table with lots of chocolate eggs on, and you can go and swap your golden eggs for chocolate. If you want to keep the golden eggs, you can keep the golden eggs. I mean, they might be more exciting than chocolate eggs, I don't know. But you can swap them for your chocolate eggs. And please, can parents supervise in the drive? You can supervise in the garden as well if you want, but particularly in the drive, that would be helpful. And apparently there are dairy-free options. Dairy-free options. So if you need dairy-free, please ask for that, and we should be able to provide that for you as well. I've also been asked to let you go in sort of age order-ish. So, if you are in reception, if you are in year 1 or 2, put your hand up. Year 1 or 2, put your hand up. You get to go first. So you may now leave in an orderly fashion, no running, pushing, cheating, disorder. If you're year 1 or 2, I'd go now or you'll get trampled in the stampede. Fantastic. Okay. If you are in years 3 to 5, put your hand up. Put your hand up, Rocco. 3 to 5. William Sam's carefully positioned at the back. You may now go without running, William. Fantastic. I expect that's it. No one older than year 5 is interested, are they? No? No. Any pink bags? Any pink bags still? A few, okay. Years 6 and upwards, you may go as well. No running, Jacob Fisher. And parents with reception year and downwards, you may now accompany your very well-behaved children through. And then adults who just want to drink a coffee and maybe a hot cross bun, I don't know, and no chocolate at all, do head through. Sorry? There's chocolate cake, apparently. Chocolate cake. How about that? For adults through in the hall. Thank you.